It's The Takeaway. I'm Shamita Basu. Recent polls from CNN, The Washington Post, Ipsos, and 538 say that more than 50% of Americans disapprove of how President Trump and his administration have responded to the pandemic. And when you talk about polls, you got to talk with Amy Walter, the host of Politics with Amy Walter from The Takeaway on Fridays, and the national editor of The Cook Political Report. Amy, thank you for coming on a day earlier than usual.
I'm very glad to be here, Shamita. Thank you.
So let's talk about this one CNN poll, one stat that caught my eye. It says 36% of Americans say they trust what Donald Trump tells them about coronavirus, and his approval rating is hovering around 45%. So in other words, some of his supporters don't trust or believe him, but they still support him. Is that a fair interpretation of these numbers? What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a really excellent question, because I think it comes back to the sort of central reality of the Donald Trump presidency, which is there's so much about him that's already kind of baked into the cake, right? Mm-hmm. Things that we know about him that you've either accepted or that continue to make you crazy about him. And you can't understand why they don't make other people crazy. And so there is this tendency then to say, well, if people think he's doing, for example, a bad job on handling the COVID crisis, or they don't trust him to have all the answers, why do they still think he's doing a good job as president? There are two reasons. One, they say, well, I think he'd do a better job than a Democrat, and I can't vote because I think Democrats are terrible across the board, or I don't like Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. Or we already knew this about him. He does this kind of stuff. He says stuff, blah, blah, blah. But overall, I think it's going to be better, and I'd rather have him doing this than somebody else.
And have his approval numbers changed since the pandemic began?
It's pretty remarkable if you look back over time at the president's approval rating, even going back to the very first moment he was sworn in as president. His approval ratings have really never gone above 48%, right, but they've never dropped below 35%. And that very narrow range, we call it his trading range, has been pretty historic. We've never seen anything like this. Most presidents come in with at least something of a honeymoon. This president did not have one. He got 46% of the popular vote. He came into office with 46% approval rating. Even on this crisis where we've seen governors across the country with a bump up in their approval ratings, mm-hmm. that hasn't happened to this president. Got a little bit of a bump, maybe 2 or 3 points, but certainly not the kinds of bumps that we've seen for governors who in some cases are seeing approval ratings in the 70s or 80s. But at the end of the day, just as we started this conversation, opinions about this president are so hardened, and about what they want for the country are so hardened, mm-hmm. that it is difficult to see that breaking.
You know, the recent White House coronavirus press briefings have been at times hard to watch for me, and I think for a lot of other people, with Trump lashing out at reporters, very noticeably women, and very noticeably mostly women of color. Talk about the things that are baked in. I mean, do you have a sense of whether that is affecting how people see the president right now, or is that sort of staying where it is?
The more that the president is in the spotlight with these press conferences, I think that has been a detriment to him and his overall approval ratings. As I said, they don't move all that much. The only question is whether they're at the higher end of that trading range or the lower end. And I think when the president is in front of the cameras, when he has these press conferences where he's fighting with reporters, where he's singling out women, that is when you see his numbers start to move toward the lower end. Not mm-hmm. because people have necessarily changed their minds about the president, but for those folks who are sort of leaning towards Trump, who are maybe ambivalent about the president, it pushes them into the category of, I don't know, I don't feel mm-hmm. great about what this president's doing. When he moves out of the spotlight, when we don't see as much focused on the president per se, you see his numbers moving up a little bit. And it's really funny because that's what we saw in 2016 as well. Mm. When the spotlight was on Hillary Clinton, on the emails, on her health scare, you saw her numbers dip down and Trump's go up. When Trump was in the spotlight, you saw Hillary Clinton's numbers move up, or at least Trump's move down. And so, interestingly enough, the president, the less he's in the spotlight, the better he does. But we know with this president, he does not want to be out of the spotlight. He will not be disciplined enough to take himself away from being that polarizing figure.
Mm. So does that mean that, I'm thinking of Joe Biden as you're talking and sort of being out of the spotlight as a strategy, perhaps. But generally, really, where is Joe Biden? It feels like he's been rather quiet or maybe just eclipsed. Right. And I've seen the hashtag "Where is Joe" has trended on Twitter a couple of times. What does this mean for Joe Biden?
That's right. So there are competing theories here, especially among the Democratic chattering class and that group of sort of armchair pundits who say, well, maybe it'd be better for Joe Biden to stay in his basement in Wilmington versus those who say he needs to go out and make this contrast with Trump. He's being overshadowed. Mm. I think, you know, there's a truism in politics as in life in general, which is if it's not broken, don't fix it. Right. And right now, Joe Biden is enjoying leads over the president anywhere from 4 to 6 points nationally. He is in very good position in these battleground states. In some cases, he's ahead by a couple of points, which essentially means the race is a toss-up. That's not a bad place to be against an incumbent president. So in that sense, sort of staying quiet and staying in your basement makes a lot of sense. At the same time, we do know that voters at some point are going to want to hear from the person who could be their president. And mm-hmm. the idea that you could run an entire campaign from your basement seems kind of ridiculous.
I mean, we are 6 months away from the presidential election. I keep on forgetting that, but it's only 6 months.
That's right. That's right. And so you do need to, at some point, hear from him, which could put then even more pressure on these debates in the fall. And look, we know we can do a debate with two candidates, regardless of where we are in this pandemic. The fact is the two of them could be social distant on a stage, no one in the audience, and a social distant moderator that would mm-hmm. work, which would be something that, you know, would be quite risky, I think, for Joe Biden, and that to go from being in your basement and not getting a lot of attention to the spotlight and all the pressure is on you for this one or two debate performance, that I think is a riskier mm-hmm. pronouncement. But again, this is a referendum on the president. And the more that the Biden campaign and the attention is on the president, I think that is better for Joe Biden than if the attention is on him. Because remember, the other thing that's not happening, nobody's defining Joe Biden. The media is not spending a whole lot of time digging into Joe Biden. We had the Tara Reid allegations and the back and mm-hmm. forth there. If this were a regular time in the before time, there would be about 47 different pieces a day digging into different aspects of Joe Biden's history and his voting record. That's not happening. Instead, he gets to just sort of be frozen in time. And for now, that's been a good thing for him.
Amy Walter is the host of Politics with Amy Walter from The Takeaway and the national editor of the Cook Political Report. Amy, thank you for joining me.
So glad to do it.
And hey, you know that Amy is in the host chair as usual tomorrow on Politics with Amy Walter. You can listen to it live when it airs, or if you're a podcast person, grab it on the podcast at thetakeaway.org or anywhere that you get your podcasts.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.